Welcome to the Lifehouse Church podcast. More information about Lifehouse and our senior pastors, Richard and Helen Kabakian, can be found at lifehouse.com.au. We hope you enjoy the following message.
Hello, Lifehouse Poznan. We love you. Okay, now, thank you, Daniel. You can take that with you, actually. Just don't make any phone calls like you did last time. Okay. I'm going to get you to stay standing. Sorry, I know we've been standing for a while. This is very important. It's actually the start of my message, okay? So I need you to stay standing, right? And this is what we're going to do. So, in a moment, I am going to be playing a sound that will come out of these speakers. And as soon as you hear it, I want you to then take a seat. Is that okay? Yeah. All right. So, and you can actually yell out, "I hear it," and then take a seat. Are you ready? It's quite loud. So, you know, are we ready? So here we go. Wow. Okay. Hang on. Sorry, something's going wrong. Stand up again. Sorry. Because there's a lot of people still standing for some reason. Let's just try that again. All right, you really need to yell out, "I can hear it." All right, here we go. All right, go for it. Play it.
I can hear it.
Okay. All right. I don't know. What's going on? Why are you guys still standing? You can't hear it? Okay, can we maybe just give them a different sound? There's a lot of people sitting, guys, and there's a few of you still standing. Okay, maybe can we give it one more go? Give it one more go. Okay. Some people are still standing. Quickly, give them another go. Okay. Can you hear that now? All right. Give yourselves a huge round of applause. Okay, well, some of you are like, what is going on here? These guys have got secret noises happening. Or are we playing a trick on you? Well, we're not playing a trick on you. What actually happened there is that first sound, put your hand up if you heard the first sound. Okay, these people are most likely under 20 years old. That's all that happened. And that sound that they heard, that I didn't hear, I'm with you guys. I'm like, yeah, hurry up, play it. Yeah, I'm waiting. Meanwhile, people are sitting. That was because it was at 20 kilohertz. And then we had to be kind to you, and then we downgraded that sound from 20 to 18 kilohertz, and then some of you go, oh, I heard that. And then we kept going, and then that final sound that some of you said, oh, I can sit now because I heard something, was basically a tractor coming through the... Yeah, that was like a Harley Davidson recording, and some of you went, oh, I hear that. That's not true. It was about 10,000 kilohertz. 10 kilohertz. 10,000 would be like, wow, it would blow your brains out. So essentially what's happened there is, guys, your ears age. And when you were 20, you would have heard the 20 kilohertz too. But as you get older, you start to hear less and less and less. And the reason I'm using that today is to say, do you know what actually can happen in the natural realm where your hearing starts to deteriorate as you get older and you hear less and you're hearing less as you get older? If you're not careful, that can actually happen as you age naturally, that you start to hear the voice of God less and less and less and less. And we start to hear what he's got for you and the plans and the purposes. Why? Because of disappointment, because of hurts, because I tried that once before. And all of a sudden, what a young person is happy to step into as an older person, you go, oh, don't think I, because, you know, it didn't quite work out last time. I want to challenge that because I believe if you've got breath in your body, God's got something for you to do, and we're going to move forward together. And that's why we've titled this year, Life on Purpose. I don't want anyone, if it's okay with you as your pastor, if you're new here today, it's still my desire for you that you would live a life full of purpose. Full. But Pastor Richard, I'm like really getting older now. Listen, and while you've got breath in your body, God's got a purpose for your life. Amen? So come on, let's give the Lord a huge round of applause. Why don't you pray with me? Father, I thank you for every person in this room. God, I believe that you're going to say something today that's going to really bless us, take us forward, and take us into our destiny and our purpose in Jesus' name. And everyone said, amen. Amen. Do you know, Ecclesiastes chapter 12 makes it pretty clear. It says, don't let the excitement of youth cause you to forget your Creator. It says, honor him in your youth before you grow old. Before you grow old, honor him. Before you grow old and say, life isn't pleasant anymore. Do you know the reason that you would say life is not pleasant anymore is because you don't quite know what your purpose is. And even though you were caught up in the excitement as a young person, you don't feel like you've really got traction in life. You don't quite know what you're trying to do and what you're trying to build. And when you get to that place, life is not pleasant anymore. But I'm believing that everyone in this room and anyone who comes into this room is going to discover their purpose and going to feel like, you know what, I love my life. There are some tough times, there are some difficult times, it's a bit challenging, but I know what I'm trying to do, I've got a purpose to my life, and I know that God's going to help me get there in Jesus' name. Amen? How many of you remember being 18 years old? For some of you, it was a year ago. Some of you, you're not there yet. Okay. Everyone remembers being 18 because that's when we got our license and, you know. How many of you feel like it wasn't that long ago, even though you're now 48, 58? You know what I mean? It seems like, wow. Well, listen, if that's the case, if 30 years have gone by like that and you can still remember the day you actually got your license, do you think anything's going to change from 48 to 78? Do you think life's going to slow down a little bit? It's not, friends. Yeah, it's not. True. We're going to think back to 48, 38, 28, and we're going to go, I remember that day. I remember it like it was. And you know what? I think sometimes someone needs to ring a bell to say, guys, life moves along very, very quickly, which would say to me and you, hey, listen, let's not waste any time stepping into our purpose and our destiny, because let's spend a lot of time building what God wants us to build. Amen? So I've got a great goal for every person in this room. And it starts with Psalm 39, verse 4. Listen to this. This is what King David said. He said, show me, Lord, my life's end. Now, for some of us, we would think, oh, gee, that's so morbid. No, 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 it's a motivator. It's actually a motivator. It's not supposed to cause depression in your life. It's supposed to make you go, okay, if that's what's heading my way, I'm going to get on with this and I'm going to have a fair crack at it. And it says, and the number of my days, and let me know how fleeting my life is. So I've got a great goal for every person in this place. I've got to be honest, it's the goal of my life. And it's found in Acts 13, 36. And it simply says this. Now when David, Jeff, Jessica, put your name in there. Put your name in there. When Ashley had served God's purpose in her own generation, she fell asleep. Friends, don't fall asleep without having fulfilled God's purpose for your life. Every single person in this place has a purpose from God. Some of us would know that this week was a very special week. A very powerful, loving man of God went to be with Jesus this week. And his name, of course, was Billy Graham. We all know, most of us. Some of you young people don't quite know who he is. But Billy Graham was a powerful evangelist. They say he preached to over 80 million people, millions and millions of decisions for Jesus. Very powerful life. Just a man fulfilling God's purpose for his life. And, you know, it's amazing that he got to 99 years old. Yeah, wow. Like, God, no, you couldn't just give him just a little bit extra, God, just so that he could have the 100. But you know what? Billy Graham used to preach a lot about having a heart to leave the 99 and go for the one. You know, I think that's what he's done on a grand scale. He's left the 99 years on this life to be with the one who loves, whom he loves. Eh? He's gone home to heaven. Do you know, Billy Graham fulfilled his purpose. I think he could honestly say, I have fulfilled God's purpose for my generation. Do you know, we just had a young man over there. His name's Tim Garisto. We all love Tim. And there you go, Tim, I've just said your name right around the world. People podcasting are going to know the name Tim Garisto. Tim's our worship and creative pastor. He's a great young man of God. Give him a huge round of applause if you agree. Great young man. We love him. And Tim really loves the Lord. I hope so. He's on staff, right? So he loves the Lord and he's living for God and he's trying to be an influence in his world. You know, I love that young man so much. You know, today that young guy is walking with God because he grew up in a home where his dad and his mum have raised him that way. Would we all agree with that? Yeah, that's what's happened. Do you know, Emma, his mother, became a Christian because her mother was a Christian. Right? And so she raised Emma. Emma raised Tim. But did you know that Emma's grandmother, her mother was a Christian. And she became a Christian because she actually went in 1956 to a Billy Graham crusade. And she became a Christian through Billy Graham. And today we get to love Tim and experience. And Tim's going to have another generation now. One man's purpose is just impacting one generation after another, after another, after another. And I pray and believe that there is no purpose greater than another. Everyone's purpose is important. And Billy Graham fulfilled his purpose. I believe God's going to fulfill your purpose if you allow him to and you choose to step into it. I love this, friends. This is God's plan for our lives. Now have a look at this. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 10 says this. It says, for we are God's, what does it say? Disaster. That's how some of us read that. For we are God's mess up plan. For we are God's huge mistake. For we are God's I'm not good enough. For we are God's, it says masterpiece. Yeah. Do you know what a masterpiece is? It's a master, it's a piece created by the master and he thinks it's absolutely awesome and that's how God feels about your life. God looks at you and says, you're a masterpiece. Do you know one thing about a masterpiece? Is that once it's done, do you know the Mona Lisa? It's not still being touched up. I mean, it sort of is to, you know, keep it alive and well. But do you know what I mean by that? Yeah. The artist was done and he's like, you're a masterpiece. Now, it doesn't mean God's not adding to your life. All I'm saying to you is you're not going to be a masterpiece one day. You are a masterpiece today. God sees you as a masterpiece. You're beautiful. You're powerful. There's a master stroke in your life. And it says that because you're a masterpiece, it says that he has created us anew in Christ Jesus. Why? So that we can do the good things that he planned for us long ago. God's got some good things for you to do. Every person in this room has got some good things. Now listen to what it says. A long time ago, before you were born, God already planned some good things for you to do with your life. Some of us are like, but I don't know what like, why? Oh, God, is there any chance that you've got something for me? Yes. God's got a big plan, and every person in this room has got some good things that God needs us to do. Friends, don't leave this earth without doing those good things because they were planned a long time ago. Now, I speak to a lot of people and they're like, oh, you know, it's great that you're living your purpose, Pastor Rich, but, you know, my purpose is not probably your, like, my purpose is much smaller. I've got some great news for you. There's no such thing as a small purpose. It's either a purpose or it's not. Yeah. Helen and I recently, we went to Stuttgart, Germany. Everyone say Stuttgart. Can you say it a little bit German? I mean, come on, man. Stuttgart. And does anyone know what is in Stuttgart that would be very dear to my heart? Would anyone know what that is? Not Frankfurt's, yes, those things are very dear to my heart too. The Porsche factory is in Stuttgart. And so my wife and I, we went to the museum. And that's what I thought we were going to do, is just see Porsche's history. But my wife had a secret plan, because she's just awesome. And she goes, honey, now that we're done here, I want to take you somewhere else. And they actually took us on a guided tour through the factory. We actually watched a Porsche being made. And we saw it from just the floor pan to the to the doors being put in, and it was amazing. And you know what was amazing? Everyone had a purpose. Everyone had their job to do. And there was one guy, his job was to put the little door handles on and make sure that they were flat. Friends, you would have thought that he was trying to send someone to the moon. He got his little white texter out, sticking out a little bit too much, you know. And he could have thought to himself, you know what? This is not a big purpose. I mean, look at that guy. He's putting the engine in. That guy's putting the gearbox in. That guy's putting the big wheels on. What am I doing? I'm just putting a little handle on. Like, what sort of a purpose is that? And he could have gone, you know what? I'm not doing it. I'm not doing it. But my purpose isn't as great as your purpose. And you know what? That Porsche would have been delivered to the client, and they would have gone, man, I love the color. Wow, it's got a big engine in it. Yeah. You get into it. Oh, I can't. Why can't I get into my car? Oh, because someone didn't fulfill their purpose. That's why we couldn't get into the car. And I tell you right now, we as a church, we've got a huge purpose. We're trying to build something far better than a Porsche. And I tell you right now, there is no job in this place. There is no purpose in this place. There's no purpose outside of this place that isn't important to God. Everyone in this place matters. And when everyone rises up to their purpose, we end up with this magnificent thing that God says, great, now I can take people from A to B. Oh, surely not, Pastor Rich. I'm telling you guys, that's how it works. You know what? What we do here is so important. But I love the attitude of the car park boys. How many of you love the car park boys? Yeah. I love the car park boys, right? You know, they've got their whole Instagram. They've got their own Instagram site going on. Like, you know what I mean? And I love Josiah's attitude. He's like, walks, you know, I was at his house the other day. How you going, Pastor Rich? Great sermon today. Yeah, they only got to hear your sermon because I parked the cars. And he's absolutely right. He's absolutely right. Yeah, I know the other guys make coffee and all that, but they can't really drink the coffee if they're so late to church because they've got to park so far away. No, they're parking because they can park their cars, they can have a coffee. And, you know, I love the production team, Pastor Rich, and all the little kids, but you know what? If the parents have to park their cars in Geelong in order to get to church, you know what? The kids' ministry is going to be running a little bit late, isn't it? I like that attitude. He's not going, oh, I just run the car park ministry. No, he's like, I run the car park ministry. Yeah. All right? Do you know what? Some of us downplay the purpose that God's got for your life. Now, God's got a purpose for every person, and when everyone adds their little bit, it was amazing. We got to see the guy that was making the dashboard for Porsche, and the guy that just makes the Speedo, and the guy that puts the leather on the gear shift. What a small purpose that is, but you know, when you combine it all together, it makes something magnificent, and that's what God's got planned for your life and my life. Come on, let's build something great. The setup team. You know, someone mops this stage. I don't think they did a very good job today. But anyway. Moving right along. Do you know, some people are sitting there and I know what you would be thinking. I'd love to find my purpose. Like, sold, done. The minute you opened up your mouth, Pastor Rich, I like, please, I just want to know what it is. I'll tell you what, we're not going to leave you hanging. Everyone started yelling and screaming a moment ago when we said Growth Track is starting. Growth Track is just a series of like talks and seminars that we do. And the second one that you do in Growth Track, there's two tests that you do that you can't fail, by the way. And it's just about you. How do you feel about this? Do you ever think about that? And what you discover is by the end of it, you learn two things. What you're gifted to do naturally and what God has gifted you to do supernaturally. And then by the end of it, we can match up what your gifting is to something that we are doing as a church or that other people are doing, that you can take what you're good at, align it to that purpose, and all of a sudden you're running in your purpose. It's not very difficult, friends. Just sign up to, just straight out these doors, sign up to Growth Track. Discover your purpose. Don't just find freedom like we talked about last week and then not discover your purpose. Because it won't be long before you start doing things that you shouldn't be doing because you don't know what you're meant to be doing. You know, I actually did that personality test and I was like, this is going to be great. This is where everyone gets to discover that I'm a great leader. I'm supposed to laugh, guys. Yeah, it's okay. But I honestly thought it's going to come up with leadership and pastoral care and preaching. That's what I thought it was going to come up. Well, I get this one gift right at the top and all those gifts are right down here. But this one gift comes up right at the top. hospitality. I'm like, man, this test is demonic. Why are we doing this to people? Because I thought, oh, what does that mean? Like, am I a chef? Am I cutting tomatoes? What does that mean? Like, hospitality. But no, it's not that. Hospitality is making sure people feel the love when they're in your environment. You know, when you open up your home, you say, oh, that couple are so hospitable. Doesn't mean that they're great chefs. What it means is they love making people feel welcome. And some of you who know me, you know what I'm like. If you come to my house and there's no background music, it's like,
yeah.
Why are we doing this to people? Put the music on. Hurry up. And my wife will have the food ready to go. Like, the food is, it's steaming. And I'm like, hey, Richard, where are you? I've got to get the music right. We can't have dinner unless the music, and it has to be the right music. You can't play boom booty boom music. It's got to be Norah Jones. It's got to be, don't know why you didn't come. That's dinner music. And then that's called hospitality.
Yeah, come on.
And you know what? I think you need that gift if you're going to pastor a church.
Yeah.
Do you know, I didn't even know that was a gift in my life.
Wow.
I wonder what you don't even know about yourself yet.
Yeah.
But as God starts to unpack it and start to unveil it for you, you're going to discover your purpose and then you can walk in it. Amen? But listen, you know, as you've discovered your purpose, can you go a little bit crazy with it? Like Helen and I, we're just going crazy. I don't know whether hospitality is her thing or not, but I think it may be. But now that I know that, well, you know what? Let's have 106 young adults at our house tonight. Yeah, why not? Yeah, just open up the doors. By the way, if you're a young adult, you know, if you feel young, all right, just come. Do you know, it's an absolute pleasure to have them there, because I think if this is my gift, and I'm going to run with this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so can I encourage you to do that? Once you discover your purpose, go a little bit crazy. Look, there's a beautiful Australian proverb, okay, and it's very well articulated. It goes like this. Have a go, you mug. Just step out. Start doing something. Oh, I'm waiting for all the things to be lined up. I'm going to wait until I know everything. I'm going to wait until all the doors are open and the sun is shining and the sun and the moon and everything. Listen, you'll never do anything. Just have a go. If you discovered your purpose, just step out, do something, see where God can take this thing. Amen. Like the prophet Seal said, you know what? You're never going to survive unless you get a little bit crazy. Some of you don't know that song, but that's not your purpose to know that song. It's okay. You know, there's a story of four lepers, and there was a famine in the land. And so they were not allowed to be in the city. So they had to stand outside the city. And they were starving to death. And so they had this major plan, an idea. And this was their idea. We can read about it right here. It says, now there were four men that had leprosy at the entrance of the city gate, and they said to each other, listen, why stay here until we die? I like that. Listen, don't stay where you are until you die. Move, do something. So I like their thinking. It says, if we say we'll go into the city, there's a famine there and we're going to die. And if we stay here, we will die. So let's go over to the camp of the Arameans, which was the enemy, and surrender. If they spare us, we will live. But if they kill us, we will die. Do you get the point? In other words, if we don't get moving, we're going to die. And they would rather take a risk and go to the enemy camp and go in a direction that puts a lot of fear into them, because they would rather do that and die than to just stand here and die. Either way, if you're going to die, die walking. Either way, if you're going to die, if things aren't going to work out, at least be walking toward your dream and your destiny and your purpose. Don't just die anyway. If you're going to die, at least die walking. I love the local church. I love what we're doing here. And you know what? I thought, well, if I can teach the Bible a little bit, and if I can love people, why don't we go a little bit crazy and use our God-given gift and do something like maybe start a church? You know what? What I was doing, where I was working, I feel like I was dying anyway. You know what? If I'm going to completely fail at this thing, at least let me die and fail walking toward a purpose and a destiny. Amen? You know, there's some girls in our church, and their gift, one girl would say to you, you know what? I can't teach. I'm not very good at many things, but one thing I love is fitness. I love picking up some dumbbells, and I love working out. She actually competed in bodybuilding competitions. And she said, well, what's my purpose? Like what, just to just grow muscles? Is that my purpose? So she thought, no, it can't be that. Why don't I welcome other young girls to come and get fit? Well, lo and behold, her house is chock-a-block, full of young people, older people who just want to get fit. Well, it's not long before people who are disconnected from God start coming. Yeah. And as they get around that environment with a whole bunch of other young ladies, and they're all hope-filled and they've got vision for their life, and they love their husbands, and they speak well of them, and they love their kids, all of a sudden these ladies are coming in saying, what? I thought we were just going to be doing that, but really there's something going on the inside. How does that happen? Because someone just decided to walk in their purpose, and God can take that and make a miracle out of it. The part about that story that blows me away is the Bible says is that as those four people started walking toward that camp, have a look at what it says God did through them. It says, so they got up and they fled in the dusk and they abandoned their tents and their horses. It's talking about the army, right? They ran for their lives. Why? Have a look at what it says. I'll tell you what it says. It says that God took the sound of those four people's feet and God made the sound of horses and chariots from the sound of their little feet. Yeah. I want to tell you, your little step that you think is quite irrelevant, okay, when you think, look at that. It says God, the sound of horses and chariots and a great army. God can take your little step towards your purpose and you think it's so little, but it's just so little. But God just makes a big noise out of it and he starts doing something supernatural. Angels get involved. People are getting saved. Do you know, it's so funny. All Helen and I are doing at the moment, many of you are doing this anyway through life groups, is you open up your home, you think it's so irrelevant. It's just so small. But yet God does something in people's lives. And you don't realize what God can do through your little step. God can create big purpose out of it. Amen? You know, there's a story that Helen shared with the staff recently at retreat. And so I'm going to pinch it off and pretend that God gave me the revelation. And it's in 1 Samuel chapter 14. And it's talking about a young guy, Jonathan. And Jonathan said to his armor bearer, come. Let's go over to the outpost of those uncircumcised men. Have a look at what he says next. Perhaps the Lord will act on our behalf. Listen to what he's saying. Hey, you and me, just the two of us, let's go fight that army. Perhaps. I don't know about you, that doesn't sound like a great plan to me. So you want me and you to go fight an army because you think maybe God's going to help us. Yeah. Perhaps. Well, if you continue to read the story, it's exactly what happened. God did an absolute miracle through those two men. I'm just wondering, if you step out in your purpose, perhaps the Lord's going to work with you. Perhaps. You know, when we started this church, we just went, you know what? Let's just have a go with a few people. Some of you are in this room. You're nodding your head. You know what? We didn't know what God was going to do. We just said, hey, why don't we just gather together, sing some songs, preach the gospel. Perhaps the Lord will use us. Perhaps. Well, many of you are getting to be a part of this church because a group of people just said, perhaps the Lord will be with us. Well, perhaps is happening. I just love that word. Perhaps. Perhaps the Lord's going to use you. And perhaps he's going to use you. And perhaps he's going to use you. Hey, listen, God doesn't have favorites. He wants to use anyone who will step into their purpose because perhaps he can use you to take you into your future. Amen? Come on. Now there's an East Campus and there's one in Poland and there's going to be many more. All because people just stood out with the big perhaps. In other words, we don't know for sure. Come on, you've got a purpose. And you've got a purpose. I wonder what will happen if everyone in this room just went, you know what, I believe that. I'm going to step out. Not just four, not 12, not 30. Imagine if everyone said, well, if I've got a purpose, I want to discover it. And I want to walk toward it. Then I think we would be the church that we want to be. You know, there's a lady in our church. She loves to make food. She actually does have the hospitality gift of making food. I don't have the making food part. And she just said, you know what? There's people that are hungry in our community. They're hungry. And so she said, you know what? I'm going to paraphrase it for you. Perhaps if I just ask council, hey, is there any leftover food that we can get hold of? And so she goes and talks to council. And some of you have seen the photos on Instagram. She's getting van loads of food that she is now cooking and giving it to families who don't have any food. Isn't that beautiful? Do you know what's amazing? 4 weeks ago, that was not happening in our church. Today, it is. There's two young ladies in our church that are saying, you know what? People need counseling. They need good counseling. And so they've gone and studied, and now they're just going to step out, and perhaps the Lord will use us. We didn't have that a year ago. I wonder what gifts and purposes are in this room right now that we don't have today, but next week we can say, guess what we've got as a church now? Guess what we've got now? Because someone has stepped out into their perhaps the Lord will use me. Isn't that powerful? And the good news is everyone's got one. Come on, poke the person beside you and say, you've got a purpose for your life. Come on, you've got a purpose. You've got a purpose. Do you know, your purpose isn't always, friends, your purpose isn't always public. Sometimes it's very private. No, what I mean by that is sometimes no one will ever see what you do. There was a man, and his name is Arthur Stace. And in 1956, and for many years beyond that, this man was an alcoholic. His parents were alcoholics. He couldn't even write his own name. Absolute truth. Couldn't write his own name. He went to church one day, and a preacher was preaching about hope and destiny and purpose, and he gave his life to Jesus. Couldn't read, couldn't write, and the preacher was saying, I just wish all of Sydney could hear about eternity. And then he said, I wish somebody would just write it on the streets. So he took that literally. And he grabbed a piece of chalk and he walked around the streets and the subways of Sydney at 5 a.m. in the morning. The first train would come at 5:30. And as people would get off trains, they would see on platforms, subways, they would see the words eternity. Do you know, they say because of that, thousands of people gave their life to Christ, because every morning they just wanted to go to work and they would be looking down and they would see eternity. The next day, eternity. Day after, eternity. Eventually started to creep. What is this eternity? What is life all about? And people gave their life to Jesus, but no one knew who was writing it. Do you know, eventually it all came out, and Sydney as a state celebrated it, so much so that they actually took his words. Some of you remember that. That's the year 2000. The fireworks in Sydney. Do you know what started off so secret? You know, the man died in 1967. He never got to see the words eternity. But we do. I wonder what God's going to do through your life that you may not even see the fruit of it. But if you would just step into your purpose, allow God to use you, I wonder what you will do. That you'll only find out about it when you get to heaven one day. You'll get to heaven and say, wow, God, is that what you did through me? Absolutely. Come on, step into your purpose, friend. The guy could hardly write his name, but he could do one thing, one word. Do you know, by the way, I was reading about it. He used to write the word eternity with a small e. And someone used to come along and put an M in front of it and mess up the word. So that's when he decided to write it with a big E. You can't mess that up. You might not be able to do much. God's got something for you. Thousands of people found Jesus through that man. Amen. Come on. What's God got for you? Oh, I'm just a marketing manager. Yeah. But do you reckon you could be the most godliest marketing manager at work? So that when everyone else is doing shady deals, you stand out like the shining, bright, godly figure. Come on, everyone's got purpose. Amen. So I'm going to ask you to stand. Come on, right across this place. everyone okay? Are we all good? I'm going to end with this scripture. I just feel it's so important. This is what Jesus said His purpose is for your life. Watch this. John 10:10. Jesus says the thief's purpose is to steal, to kill, and to destroy. What? Your purpose. But Jesus says, but my purpose is to give them a rich and satisfying life. Rich and satisfying. That's what God's trying to bring into your life. A rich and satisfying life. Does anybody want a rich and satisfying life? Does anyone want that? A rich and satisfying life. Jesus says, you're in good company, because that's exactly what I want to bring you. When people meet you, hey, how's life going? Oh man, it's so rich. It's so satisfying. What's the opposite of that? Poor and disgruntled. He doesn't want that for us. Rich, satisfying. Friends, it's found in Jesus. It starts in Jesus, and then it flows out of there.
Hi, I'm Richard Kabakian, pastor of Lifehouse Church. Just wanted to say thank you for listening to this message, and I hope and pray that you feel that it's added value to your life. My greatest desire is to see people develop a personal relationship with Jesus, which can begin by praying a very simple prayer. I'm going to pray that prayer right now, and if you'd like to begin that relationship, you can just repeat after me. Lord Jesus, I need you in my life. I choose you as my only hope of being forgiven. Please come into my life and let me begin a relationship with you that will last for all eternity. If you've prayed that prayer, we would love to know about it and celebrate your fantastic decision. You can do that by sending an email to mydecision@lifehouse.com.au. We look forward to hearing from you.